to the Representing Rural Podcast. I'm Candace Williams, and today our special guest is Brad Cameron of Big Big Box in Arkansas Counts. Welcome, Brad.
Hey, Candace. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us, especially, you know, since we're on the time clock now as far as how much time we have left to get this census completed. So could you tell everyone exactly what Big Big Box is and your work with Arkansas Counts?
Absolutely. So a couple of years ago, what is today? Oh my gosh, today's my 2-year anniversary.
Oh,
I didn't realize that. Yeah, so 2 years ago, as of today, I started Big Big Box because I believe that stories are the materials we use to craft our world. And so Big Big Box packages and ships brilliance and imagination, the building blocks for extraordinary organizations, companies, and communities, because we believe that when more people know what other people are doing brilliantly, then that brilliance can be taken to scale and more lives and more communities can grow and improve over time. And so as a part of that work, I've been brought on as the communications chair for Arkansas Counts, a grassroots-led statewide initiative that's been supported by a variety of funders thanks to Arkansas Impact Philanthropy, chief among them, Delta Dental, Tyson Foods, and Walmart Foundation. And together with, you know, partners from across the state, chief among them are Arkansas United, Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families, and Arkansas Public Policy Panel, we've been working hard over the past a year and a half to move the count in our state, because we want to ensure that every Arkansan counts in the 2020 U.S. Census, because it brings billions of dollars to our state to support education, healthcare, which is especially important at a moment when we're facing a global pandemic.
Yes.
As well as to build infrastructure in our communities. You know, a lot of our rural communities especially need healthcare clinics. They need improved water systems. They need improved roads. And so a complete count ensures that we get those taxpayer dollars back to our state. You know, this is our money that we've already paid the federal government, and we want to bring it back to our state. And the census helps us ensure that we do that.
Thank you, Brad, for explaining that. Could you just reiterate that one time about the importance of, you know, this is already, you know, our tax dollars, and the count, how important the count is to actually get those funds back to the state?
Absolutely. I'll state a really important figure. So for just 1% of our population getting undercounted, that's in Arkansas, I think about 30,000 folks. So for just 1% of our state that gets undercounted, that's nearly $1 billion lost over the next decade. And that's just in federal funding alone. That doesn't account for, you know, businesses that use census data to determine where they set up shop, where they decide to expand into. So that's $1 billion for just about 30,000 people over the next 10 years. So how we respond to the census really does determine our future, does shape our future over the next 10 years.
Wow. That's just to hear, you know, we could possibly, you know, not have $1 billion that we so very much so that we very much so need in our state. It's mind blowing and just really expresses the importance of everyone completing that census. So I have a couple questions I want to ask you. And as we work with rural communities over this past, especially this past month, really trying to drive home the importance of getting the census completed, a lot of people have had questions. So I just want to, you know, make this an avenue, especially with you being a person that can answer them. Just have a discussion about them. So how does the census determine boundaries for a city and or town? And a very important question for me, if not for other rural communities, is how are unincorporated communities counted?
Great, great questions. So as I understand, the boundaries for a city or town are determined at the municipal and state levels and then reported nationally. So, you know, there are often local either elections held to determine whether an expansion will happen. You know, municipal officials make those determinations. So there are a combination of factors that kind of come together that ultimately get reported to the national level about how those city and town boundaries are drawn out. As for the unincorporated communities, which is quite a lot of Arkansas, we are a very rural state. Many of our folks live, you know, I always think of Ponca because I have some friends from there and they live right on the edge of Ponca. And I was actually talking to the mayor of Newton County, Mayor Larson, or sorry, the mayor of, oh, I'm blanking right now. Anyway, Mayor Larson, she's in Newton County. And we were talking about how, you know, the census has tried to get out the count with P.O. boxes, and it's been a challenge because not everyone has apparently, especially in our rural communities that rely on a P.O. box, not everyone has necessarily received the census form in the mail.
Right.
Why that's an important fact is, you know, we've seen over the course of this census cycle, our response rate via mail has been one of the highest in the nation.
Wow.
So a lot of Arkansans really rely on receiving that paper form in the mail. And I've been hearing that a lot of folks haven't. And so that's why we've really encouraged folks to call the census phone number, 844-330-2020, because we realized that going to my2020census.gov, which is also an option, isn't necessarily an option for our rural residents who you know, may not have access to the internet or may not have access to a device that they can log on to that website with. So we're really encouraging our rural residents to, you know, a lot of folks have landlines still. You know, use that landline to call 844-330-2020.
Thank you, Brad. So being, you know, how important this census is and getting everyone counted, why was the date changed from the end of October to September 30? Why was the deadline changed?
That's a great question. And I'm going to give a very apolitical response. Okay. Which, you know, when I take my Arkansas Counts hat off and you know, we could grab some beers or something, I could give you a very subjective response to that. But what I will say is there is a federal push to complete the Bureau's enumeration and analysis process to provide the final report on the census data by the original December 31st deadline. Now, earlier, we had been working, we had been told by the Bureau, we had been encouraged to work under the assumption that because of the pandemic, our deadline had been extended out until October 31st. A few weeks ago, we got tipped off thanks to a NPR report by Hansi Luong that, you know, he was digging around the Census Bureau's website and he noticed that the October 31st deadline language was suddenly disappearing.
Wow.
So he got in touch with some folks and sure enough, Stephen Dillingham the following week announced that the census, the deadline for self-responding and the termination of in-the-field operations by the Bureau would end on September 30th. So literally overnight, we went from working a 90, 60, 30 day plan to abbreviating that to a 60, 30 day plan.
Yeah.
And now I'm sitting here and, you know, honestly, we have just over 2 weeks. We have 15 days to ensure as many Arkansans respond to the census as absolutely possible. Because that self-response rate, by sending in that paper form, by going to my2020census.gov, by calling 844-330-2020, that ensures we have the most accurate count possible. And it's particularly important for our hard to count communities. These are our rural residents, our communities of color, children under five, the elderly, and people experiencing homelessness. Because if we're not ensuring that our rural residents are responding for themselves, then there can be some inaccuracies in the enumeration numbers. You know, we want to make sure that Dumas, for example, is, you know, the demographics of Dumas actually reflect Dumas. Because
right.
In addition to determining, you know, what federal funding comes into Dumas, it also determines the political representation and how, you know, district lines are drawn.
Right. So I kind of want to go back to the unincorporated communities question. So for those people that are counted in unincorporated communities, those funds, they just go to the county rather than, I guess,
yes,
specific. Okay.
The county level. And I've been learning a lot about the sort of support that federal funding to the county level, what that looks like, by doing outreach to the health centers throughout Northwest, North Central, and basically Northern Arkansas.
Okay.
We've been responding to the COVID-19 pandemic. Those little health clinics receive funding from the federal level, thanks to that census data. So in the unincorporated communities, the whole county stands to benefit by getting an accurate count.
Okay. Thank you for more clarification around that question, because I live in an unincorporated community. So that was kind of a personal
absolutely
an answer to that. So thank you, Brad.
Mm-hmm.
So I found myself, like I said, over the past month or month and a half, RCA has really been trying to push home the importance of, you know, completing the census. If you've completed it, make sure all your family and friends have. And I've been on the website quite a bit. And when field operations or when enumerators, when they started, I know on the website, it stopped like the, I think it was a weekly updating for cities and counties as far as like self-response rates. And now it's more so, it's a daily update with, of course, the self-response rate is in there, but also like the households that were followed up through non-response follow-up with the field workers. So why was that taken off? Is that, I guess, protocol that, it may be too much to keep up with now, but why isn't like that city and county, those numbers, why aren't they still like broken out every week so people can kind of see where their cities and counties stand as far as responding?
Absolutely. And I'll just say the self-response rate is still available at the city and county level. It just takes a little bit of digging. I don't know why the Bureau changed the website the way they did.
Okay.
But if you do Google, and I do this on a daily basis because I can't remember, it's like a, you know, 20,000 word URL.
Yeah.
But if you Google response rates, currently they are showing the top five states.
Mm-hmm.
Just below that, it has total response rates by state, which
mm-hmm.
I'll get to that here in a second, non-response follow-up completion rates. And then they still have the self-response rates map that you can click on.
Okay.
And then, you know, this is how I go through it every day, just to see where we are. And I pull it up as we speak, you know, because Arkansas, as of today, has a 59.9% self-response rate.
Okay.
And then click on the rankings just above that. And that's where you can get to the census response rates. And, you know, it's really been an extraordinarily useful tool along the way. I know a lot of county and municipal elected officials and leaders have been really relying on these tools to keep beating the drum, to get out the count in their communities. But yeah, you can kind of, again, it takes some digging, but you can still find the self-response rates on the Census Bureau's data visualization tool.
Okay.
So that information is still there. But backing up a little bit to your question about the total response rates, why those are not being reported as far as total enumeration at the county and city level, I don't know. What I do know is, you know, some of our national partners have expressed concern about potential inaccuracies in that total enumeration number. Some examples they give are incidents in which enumerators, these are, you know, people hired by the Bureau to knock on doors,
right,
ask people questions that are on the census. There have been incidences of those individuals hired by the Bureau not being able to get somebody to answer the door. And so they may ask a neighbor, you know, who lives next door? How many people are over there? What are their demographics? And, you know, I know we're in the South and we're friendly and everybody knows everybody.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that's not the most accurate reporting that we can get. So that's why we're really relying on that self-response through the website, through the form, through the phone line that, you know, each and every one of us is responsible for, to ensure that those final numbers truly reflect the communities across our state.
Okay, I kind of have a follow-up to that. So what if someone says that, you know, they've filled out the census, they've completed it already, but an enumerator still shows up at their door, not one time, not two times, maybe three or four times, because it's still being, I guess, reported that they haven't completed it.
Mm-hmm.
But they in fact have. So could you talk about that a little bit? Like, why would that happen? Why would a person's address continue to show up and they've already completed it?
That's a great question. And I don't fully know the answer. You know, I know that mistakes happen.
Yeah.
This is the first, well, and I'll say two things. This is the first time in America's history that the census has primarily been completed online, that option has even been available. And so I imagine that at the Bureau's level, you know, the first time you tried to ride a bike, you fell a little bit, you probably scraped yourself. Well, yeah. I imagine the Bureau's probably going through a little bit of that too.
Yeah.
And then secondly, I would say, you know, it doesn't hurt to, you know, talk to somebody who is an official Census Bureau employee, because, you know, it's a job, you know, they're committed to doing the best work they possibly can. They're limited to the information that they have available to them. And, you know, I've worked for some big companies before, and I've not had necessarily the information that my boss's boss's boss had.
Mm-hmm.
And I've made mistakes along the way too. So I just encourage folks to be a little patient. I know we're kind of all on edge because of everything else that's going on in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it doesn't hurt to, you know, politely, you know, keep social distance, put your mask on and say, hello, thank you for coming by. I've been counted. Please be along your way. Because I personally, now my story, I have a very similar story.
Okay.
And this actually was an aha moment for me. I was living in one apartment as of April 1st, 2020. And I got really lonely during the isolation of self-quarantine. I was like, I need roommates. So I got some roommates and moved across the parking lot to a new apartment.
Okay.
So a census worker came to the door. I kept, you know, my polite social distance and had a conversation with her about, you know, just to see how things were going. Because, you know, I've been doing this since, you know, February of last year. And, you know, it doesn't hurt to just, you know, have a polite conversation with somebody, you know, doing their best.
Show a little grace, because they're, like you said, they're just doing their job. So, again, if they come to your door and you know that you've completed it, try to be kind, you know. They're just trying to do their job. Like Brad said, you know, mistakes happen. Maybe your address hadn't cleared in the system yet for some reason or another, but just try to show a little grace.
Well, the other thing that I do think is important is, do make sure that the person you're talking to is a census worker.
Yes.
I can't emphasize this enough. You know, the census is not asking for your social security number. The census is not asking for your bank account information. The census is not asking for a check. If anybody comes to the door and says, I'm working for the census, and asks you for your social security number, your banking information, anything like that, tell them to get lost. The other thing that you can do is, you know, if you're uncertain or afraid, immediately ask to see the census worker's ID. And it will have their name, their photo, the official seal for the official seal, and then an expiration date. You know, ask to see that if you're afraid or uncertain. And if the person refuses to present that information, politely tell them to get lost.
Yeah.
Along there.
Yeah. That's one sure way to make sure that that is someone actually representing the Census Bureau. They'll have a badge with their, like Brad said, with their picture, their ID, and an expiration date. And they'll also, they'll have a device in their hand, and it'll have the logo of the, who's the Census Bureau under? But it'll have a logo, an official logo, on the back of their iPhone that they have carrying around to actually do the census when they come to your home. So you'll know if they're official. Look for those two things and nothing else. Okay, Brad. So there have been some, I've seen things on social media about addresses popping up that, you know, the homes are no longer there. They've been demolished for a long time. So how does the Census Bureau, how do they get the addresses, and what's the time span between when these addresses are gathered and when the census actually begins?
Absolutely. And I'd say that varies. So the Census Bureau, Bureau's Geography Division uses like a variety of ways to maintain high quality address records. So address ranges accurately describe the location of addresses on the ground. So they can be reported. Address ranges conform with the current U.S. Postal Service zip codes. Ranges are reliable and free from conflict. So, you know, the counties, so it's, you know, municipality, which includes city, town, reports to the county does their work. The county reports to the state reports to the federal government, and then they also use, so it's turtles all the way down.
Okay.
That makes sense. And it's an ongoing process. I believe there's quite a bit of automated software.
Okay.
I think that there is kind of a annual, you know, please update this information immediately sort of thing, but it happens in a variety of ways. But I think the most reliable process is by, you know, really relying on the local, again, whatever local is for you. There's a variety of what local means, you know, especially if you're an unincorporated community. And then, you know, that's really where we rely on the county reporting to the state, reporting to the federal government.
So the county actually has a very important part in making sure that addresses are submitted. The spelling of these addresses, how they appear on Google Maps and everything, that is a big responsibility of the county.
Absolutely.
Okay. So you all hear that. For all of us who live in unincorporated communities. Or not spelled, not road number, but whose road name it may have been spelled wrong or anything like that. Our county has a lot to do with that. So that's advocacy on our part that we can start doing and making sure that our addresses are submitted correctly and things like that. Do you want to add anything else, Brad, before we go?
Yeah, I mean, especially because we're talking about rural communities, I've been reaching out to a lot of leadership at the county level to find out what they're doing and how I can support their get out the count efforts. And what I've noticed is, you know, county folks really want to talk to their residents. Mm-hmm. They want to work with them to solve problems. And so I really encourage anybody listening to this to, you know, if you've got a question or concern, don't be afraid to call your county clerk, because they really want to learn and work with you to, you know, just consistently improve and do better.
I agree. I've on social media, I've been seeing, I follow the Howland, the West Howland mayor, Kevin Smith, and every day now he's doing like an update, you know, making sure people are aware of the census and that they've completed it. So you're right. Like a lot of our mayors and county officials, they are hands on deck, making sure that everyone is counted. And that is appreciated. Again, you all, if a census worker shows up at your door and you know you've completed it, just try to show some grace and patience with them, because they're working and they're just trying to do their job. And maybe your address hasn't cleared through the system. Maybe the spelling was incorrectly in their system or something. It could be a lot of reasons. But as Brad mentioned, just respectfully mention to them that, you know, hey, I've completed it and thank you, you know, for doing what you do. Brad, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Amanda.
Thank you again for joining us. And as an organization, RCA, we're doing all that we can to make sure that, you know, Arkansas gets as close to 100% as we can as far as our numbers being counted. So thank you again. It's time now for our Rural Arkansas Power Moves. And you can probably guess my first one. And we have one more week for this to be a Rural Arkansas Power Move. And it's to complete the 2020 census if you have not already. If you have, just make sure everyone you know also has completed the 2020 census. It's so important to our rural communities, our schools, our roads. So just make sure that you're a part of making sure that we're as close to that 100% as we can get of having Arkansans counted. Aligned with completing the census is making sure that your house number is either, you know, very much so visible on your house or on your mailbox outside of your home, just in case you have not completed and an enumerator is looking for your home, that they will be able to easily locate it, and it won't be as difficult to find out where you live. The next Rural Arkansas Power Move would be the Arkansas Out of School Network, AOSN. They are holding a conference today, Friday, September 18th, where they held it this morning from 9 to about 11:15. And they'll be wrapping up tomorrow on Saturday, September the 19th from 9 to 10, I believe. And it's a youth policy summit, a virtual youth policy summit. And Ms. LaVita Wills-Hale, she is doing great work in our state as it pertains to out of school time. That's after school programs and all of those things. And so if you want to learn more about what AOSN is doing or planning on doing for the next upcoming legislative session, or how you can be involved with them, be sure to tune in to their the ending session of their conference tomorrow morning. And again, just go like their page, Arkansas Out of School Network, and there you'll be able to find the registration link, so you'll be able to tune in tomorrow. The third Rural Arkansas Power Move would be around the voter registration deadline. The voter registration deadline to participate in the November election is October the 5th. October the 5th
is the deadline for voter registration if you want to participate in this election. So just in case, you know, there's no hiccups or anything, I would advise, if you have not registered already, that you do that by next week. Don't wait until the very end to get your application submitted. Just try to do it as soon as possible if you have not already registered. And the last rural Arkansas power move would be, it pertains to our internet connectivity. So apparently Arkansas has the worst internet connectivity in the country. I didn't know we were that bad until a report came out on Monday when Stephen Porch, he's affiliated with the Arkansas broadband office, and he testified before the legislative committee that's overseeing the broadband in our state. And that was one of his, you know, that was a part of his testimony that, you know, we reportedly have the worst internet connectivity in the state. And COVID, you know, laid all that bare. It really made that front center. It let everybody see how bad it really is. So there's a way we can help the state realize where those gaps are as far as like connectivity not being up to par. And it would involve us going on a website. It's broadband.arkansas.gov. And on that website, you would be able to click a link, and the website would be able to test the speed of your connection, of your broadband, your internet connection at home or wherever you are. And that's the only way the state will truly find out where these gaps are as far as like our connectivity not being up to par. They need us to help them. We know we live. And when I say we, I'm in that number too. Like, I do not have a good internet connection at home. So I will be on that website as often as I can to let them know, hey, where I live, it's not good at all. So they need you all to help as well. So if you know your connection is not good at home, I'll need you to go on that website. It's broadband.arkansas.gov. And there you will find information, one, around the funding that they have, the Rural Connect funding, but also, more importantly, right now, how you can help right now is testing your internet speed. Again, the website is broadband.arkansas.gov, broadband.arkansas.gov. Please go on that website and share it with people, other people you know that reside in rural communities or communities, period, throughout the state who may not have the best internet connection at home. And that's the only way the state will know where we need help. Until next time, you all take care.